14th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. Visit us on thesportscast.net. And also follow us on Twitter on the Sportscast One, also on Instagram, the Sportscast One. And you can check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. You could download it straight from the iOS App Store. Late breaking news. The Mavericks have been fined by the NBA for $750,000 for tanking. And also, we'll previewing the Bulls versus Heat and the OKC at Timberwolves for the play-in, the final two games before the playoffs. And join us all the way from upstate New York, coming from a Midwest baseball tour, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
And yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah, and I got some big basketball games coming up here starting this weekend. Starting tonight, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, tonight, let's start with the late-breaking news. The Mavericks were fined $750,000 for misconduct of detrimental to the NBA, including violating the league's player resting policy and demonstrating a desire to lose their contest on April 7th against the Chicago Bulls. The league announced shortly. Your thoughts over this? You saw it coming. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, as a Mavericks fan, it's tough, you know, because, you know, Wednesday night they go, you know, they're in the midst of a tough streak. You know, they get a victory against the Kings, which basically puts them, right, you know, they don't control their destiny. They're still waiting for the Thunder to lose a game. But they have a chance, you know, and that's, you know, as a fan, that's what you're hoping for. Ownership saw that. They didn't want to just be the 10th seed. That's the best they can get. You know, I think the background is this. If they have get into the top 10, you know, they can. They still have the they would be able to use their draft pick this year. If not, then it goes to the Knicks with the Porzingis trade. So, you know, at the where they are right now, they lose those next last two games. They're going to be able to get, you know, a fairly high chance, about a 70 to 75% chance of getting in the top 10. So they like their odds in that. And, you know, basically all of a sudden everybody came up with injuries. They quote unquote rested players. It was pretty obvious what they're doing. If you ask me, a lot of teams have been doing it all year. They just got, when you do a, you know, a mask like that at the crucial time, it's a bad look for the NBA, you know, and competitive pride they kind of take themselves into, which has been, you know, pretty low this year. It's been a tough regular season to watch, you know, as an NBA fan. You know, we love the playoffs for the next 2 months, but the amount of resting and, you know, sitting out games, it's tough to handle because you don't never know in a day in and out who's going to be playing, you know, any single game. And that's what the NBA is trying to fight here, and that's why they kind of had to make a statement with the Mavericks, you know,
But that's fine. Yeah, the timing of the so-called tanking was not good by the Mavericks, obviously. They were only third place back in February around the All-Star break, Ryan. What happened? And keep in mind, a year ago, they went to the Western Conference Finals and they lost against the Warriors. What happened to the Mavericks?
Well, first off, this offseason losing Jalen Brunson, that's a big piece. And they never really recovered from that. You know, for most of the year, they had Spencer Dinwiddie, who did a, you know, decent job. But, you know, when it came to making the Kyrie trade, you know, basically, you know, Luka was running on fumes. You know, every game, you know, he's got to basically unload this tank, you know, just for the Mavericks to be competitive. And, you know, I think the desire to have Luka being the focal point for many, many years to come. And to make that happen, they believe that they had to make a trade to add another piece. They went out and get Kyrie. The problem is when they got Kyrie, they also lost Dinwiddie. They also lost Dorian Finney-Smith. those role are two players. Big cogs, you know. Yeah, absolutely, you know, and they're already, you know, short on, you know, wing defenders, and now you just made it even more. So you had Kyrie, who's obviously a premier offensive player, but one of the lowest rated defensive players. And then you take out, you know, your better, you know, defender, you know, wing defenders. It's caution to it. Now, they're able to re-sign Kyrie, you know, and build up the roster in the offseason. It could be okay.
Which you don't mind.
You know, adding. Yeah, I mean, if they can keep Kyrie, you have a great backcourt. But they need a rebounder. You know, this team is a dismal wing defending, a dismal rebounding. You know, there's a lot. This roster had a lot of shortcomings, you know. That just became more of a glaring hole after the Kyrie trade.
What was the thought with the Kyrie trade? Was this going to be enough for them to go deep in the playoffs?
Absolutely. I think it was just try to get a piece, you know, Luka in the sense of getting him help. But in return, you know, you give up. It's a trade. You improved the team in the sense of offensively, but you took a backseat defensively. But, you know, and that's what midseason trades, you've got to understand that what the trade deadline so far back in the season, and then that, you know, Kyrie was hurt, Luka was hurt. They just never got in the rhythm. It ended up becoming a dumpster fire, you know, and they were free falling through the skin in Santiago in the last month of the season. So it was a tough pill to swallow for a fan, you know, seeing them tank the last. But now that it's done, it's over with, you know, sad not seeing them in the playoffs. But here's an offseason filling up some roles, you know, and, you know, hopefully locking up Kyrie. Because if they don't lock up Kyrie, you know, basically you lost valuable assets. Dorian Finney-Smith has been an extremely productive asset for this organization for a very long time. That key role player that you kind of just need, you know, and then just kind of let him walk out the door. You know, not walk, but, you know, trade him, and now if they lose out on Kyrie, you know, it's not a good look for sure.
Yeah, and then plus the off-the-court issues with Mark Cuban, the owner. He also got penalized by the NBA. So there's a lot of going on off the court, you know, and the whole trade situation and who had a better trade between them or Phoenix. But, hey, as Ryan says, their optimism in Dallas. Luka has whispered that if things don't get straight, he wants to leave the Mavericks in a year from now.
Yeah, you know, that got out, but he quickly squashed that the other day, you know, at his end of year press conference saying he loves Dallas, you know, he wants to be here for a long time. So we'll see, you know. I think he wants that legacy, and he wants to win here in Dallas, you know. I think he'll be patient. I don't know if he'll be Damian Lillard patient, but, you know.
That's another, you know, dumpster fire, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're right in the playoff line, and they literally decided not to play. I mean, so it's funny because the Mavericks got penalized, and the Trailblazers did it for, you know, 2 months basically to make sure they get a lottery pick and, you know, nothing. You know.
So what hasn't the Blazers been penalized?
Because they didn't just take five players out of their starting lineup on, you know, elimination game, you know, which made it quite obvious. So the funny thing is, on San Diego Friday night, the Mavericks are up by 9 points. You know, with I would call them, you know, their second string. And basically, they had to take out their second string and put in the end of the bench just to make sure they would lose that game. You know, it was pretty. I was like, "Oh, yeah!" I was pretty excited. I'm like, "They're doing it." But, you know,
yeah, it is, but what, yeah, it is. So which draft pick are they predicted to go for the NBA draft?
I mean, they're not going to get a top pick unless something goes crazy in the idea. But you're going to end up seeing that, you know, 8 to 10 range probably. And that's, you're looking to get, you know, a solid role player, you know, probably filling the role of a defender. You know, I'm looking, my eyes are on a guy named Taylor Hendricks from UCF, you know, 6'8", supreme athlete, you know, a lot that you got from Dorian Finney-Smith, you know, he's not a game changer. You know, he's not going to build a franchise around, but, you know, just one of those pieces you just needed to have to win games, you know, and I think that's what they are, you know, any possible way they can add talent, you know, and I think if you're going to sign Kyrie to contract, you're going to have to sign Kyrie. That's going to, and you got Luka on a big deal. You don't have unlimited resources, and that's why they have to go to the draft to fill these resources, and that's why they, you know, ultimately have the tank. So, there, as a fan, in the moment, it's frustrating, but if you take that view from 1,000 feet and understand, you know, the economics of the situation and, you know, desire not just to have a team that goes to playoffs, but a team that can actually compete, and, you know, like they did the last couple of years, you know. They need to find, you know, they need to go out and hit home runs like they did with Jalen Brunson, you know. It's sad to see the players you develop, you build up, you know, and just walk out the door like that, but that's life, you know, so.
We'll leave it to the experts like Mark Cuban to decide what holes to fill and why not. It's going to be a long summer season, off season for the Mavericks. Then playoffs with no Texas teams. The Spurs, Mavericks, and the Rockets did not make the playoffs this year.
Well, I mean, talk about tanking those two. Houston and San Antonio have been, you know, working the lottery picks here for a while here. So
Ryan's like, look, we got a couple other teams that are tanking too.
You know, I'm looking at the team that made the play in the Thunder going for the last playoff spot tonight. They've been doing it for years, and they're finally starting to pay off here little by little, you know. And we'll see if the Rockets, who've been getting top tier lottery picks here for a couple years, I just don't really understand their theory, their strategy, because it doesn't really add up to where I'm seeing it from. But
it's a Houston thing. The Texans and the Rockets, they're kind of paralleled, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm hearing you. We'll just my quick little NFL 2 weeks to draft. I really don't think the Texans want to pick C.J. Stroud at number two here. So I really think they're leaking out information that they want Will Anderson out of Alabama.
Which is both win-wins.
I just don't think they're so. Yeah, I think what you're seeing is that they don't love C.J. Stroud. If you pick him, you're married to him for a couple of years. You know, Will Anderson can start from day one. And you got to look, you can go back into your second first-round pick, and you can pick at Will Levis. You can pick at Anthony Richardson. If you really love those guys just as much as C.J. Stroud, and you still get a quality player like Will Anderson, who's not going to be there later in the, you know, first round. But if you don't like any of these guys, and you really, really like Bryce Young, go out, get the players you want to build a roster, and next year you're probably going to be just in the same position, which is fine. It's a long process. You go out and you pick, another high-profile quarterback in next year's draft. So, Caleb Williams. I mean, Caleb Williams is a surefire Hall of Famer in my book, you know, when he comes out next year. Or Drake May from North Carolina. These are guys that are going to, you know, can't miss prospects, you know, like a Bryce Young. There's only one Bryce Young, yes. C.J. Stroud could be great. Will Levis could be great. Anthony Richardson, there's a lot more question marks. I don't think there's many question marks as Bryce Young. That's my 2 week take out of the NFL draft. I'm sure there'll be lots of talk on the sportscast from now until.
Oh, we had three shows covering it, but it feels like you're definitely concerned. You're looking at the angles. You're definitely looking at the teams. I don't know what the Broncos want, but we'll leave it for another week. Hopefully, Ryan can make our big show and talk about who's going where and what's going up. A lot going on with that drama. Let's go back into the NBA, the play-in tonight. The final play-in games tonight, Bulls versus Heat. Let's start with that. Any of these two teams can face the Milwaukee Bucks, the Chicago Bulls. They beat Toronto back on Tuesday, Wednesday night. It was kind of a surprise because Toronto was leading by a lot. For most of the game, the Bulls came scrambling back. Zach LaVine had one heck of a game. The Heat, they lost against Atlanta, against Trae Young. 116-105. It was not even close. So these teams will face tonight. Your thoughts on tonight's matchup, which the winner will play the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, do I think any of these teams can beat the Milwaukee? Absolutely not. I really don't know what's happening to the Heat. You know, they go from we talk about the Mavericks falling from grace here, going from the Western Conference final. The Miami Heat were a team that were in the Eastern Conference final, one game away from the actual finals. And now they're looking at, you know, win or go home here in the play-in. So, they're just not getting anything other from anybody really other than Jimmy Butler, a little bit from Tyler Hero. Bam Adebayo is not the same player he was last year. And they're not rebounding. I mean, I know the Mavericks are a terrible rebounding team, but I didn't even realize how bad the Heat were. I mean, Clint Capella single-handedly almost out-rebounded the whole Miami Heat team the other night.
Not a good sign.
They need a little team effort there in their rebounding. You know, I think they have the defensive weapons to shut down the Bulls. You know, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine. Yeah, Zach LaVine was awesome the other night. Two reasons why they won: Zach LaVine and terrible free throw shooting by the Raptors, which could be attributed to the freakish noise that DeMar DeRozan's daughter was making. I don't know if you heard that over there.
I heard it all the way from Twitter, so you couldn't go wrong. That could have been a major factor in Toronto.
So, well, you know, and Toronto, if you could hear in Toronto, which is a lot of. Not just in your Miami, but
what do they call it? Jurassic Park in Toronto?
I mean, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think the Bulls have a little bit more potent offensively that he can really shut you down defensively when they're, you know, at their game. Jimmy Butler and, you know, I think, you know, Jimmy Butler can give you enough offensively and Bam Adebayo can just give you something here. I really like the Heat to win this game, but my head says, you know, Heat. My heart says I think the Bulls got it. This is a team I think they underachieved a little bit. Zach LaVine was hurt a lot this year. There's a lot of injuries in general, but, you know, Alex Caruso, I mean, one of the top defending guards in the NBA. I think second team all NBA defender here.
Underrated player, veteran player too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of player you look at like, oh, man, how did the Lakers just let that guy walk out the door? But, and they did.
Well, there's a lot of question marks with that one. A lot of players are like,
but, you know, my prediction, I'm going to go with the Bulls to win tonight. You know,
You switched from the Heat. You said the Heat a couple seconds ago.
I'm going to my heart, Santiago. My head says the Heat have a better roster, but the Bulls are playing better, and I think I'm going to take them to win tonight.
Yeah, Heat are favored in Vegas. The key players for the Heat, as Ryan said, Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets. He missed practice due to personal reasons. Expected to be back tonight. He's averaging a team high of 22.9 points. Another key player for the Heat that Ryan mentioned really brief is Bam. He's averaging 24 points, but they need a lot from him. And as Ryan said, rebounds, they need a lot from him. And the Bulls, I would say Zach LaVine coming off a huge game, 39 points. I haven't seen that since Michael Jordan. I'm just kidding. I'm not sure. Probably been a whole other player before him. And, of course, DeRozan. So this matchup tonight is going to be close. Ryan is 50-50, even though he said the Bulls. He thinks that he can do it. But we'll see what happens. OKC at Timberwolves. OKC, the youngest team in the NBA right now. They beat the Pelicans, which was kind of surprising, but they're on the road. They played Minnesota tonight in Target Center, and whoever wins this game will go against the Nuggets, against Jokic. Your thoughts over who do you think will win this match?
The Timberwolves had the other night, you know, they were take control over the Lakers, and they kind of lost their mojo. But this is a team kind of in disarray, the Timberwolves. We'll see if they can rally. We don't know about Rudy Gobert's death.
Yeah, you know. Which let me put down, little backstory to that. Rudy Gobert was suspended against the Lakers, which they took the Lakers to overtime. Gobert should be back tonight. Apparently he punched Randy Anderson, but it wasn't a punch to the face. It was to his chest or his arm. But anyways, please continue.
Yeah, so I mean, Thunder, you know, nice victory the other night over the Pelicans. If you guys haven't seen Shai Gilgeous-Alexander play, he's well worth the money.
So, well, you know, again, you know, what do I think happened? I think that the Timberwolves win. I think it's another close game because I think the Timberwolves is a little bit more seasoned. They got players like Mike Conley, you know, and Karl-Anthony Towns, you know, Edwards. I think there's a little better roster right now than the Timberwolves, but the Thunder. But the Thunder future, I think, is a lot brighter than the Timberwolves. But in the moment, I'm going to pick the Timberwolves to win the game.
Yeah, Timberwolves are favorite tonight in Vegas. Key players for the Thunder, as Ryan said, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and guard Josh Giddey. Very young squad. We'll see what happens. Karl-Anthony Towns is a two-way phase force in the front court. Towns has a knack for pulling down boards and swatting away shots in the lane, so he'll be key for tonight. They almost beat the Lakers. I mean, without Rudy Gobert, I mean, this team looks very, very stacked, don't you think?
Yeah, they have a lot of good players. It's just they just don't have that team unity all the time, you know. When things start going bad like they did the other night, they kind of unravel quickly. But I just think they're just a little bit more seasoned. They can get the leadership out of Mike Conley that they can get, you know, in our Karl-Anthony Towns. I think they'll be okay tonight, but it'll be a good game.
All right, Ryan picks Miami to win the play-in, Minnesota to win the play-in. Let's go into the playoffs, which starts tomorrow at 1 p.m. on ESPN. Brooklyn at Philadelphia. Who you got for that matchup?
I know Philadelphia, you know, to win the series and that, you know, they're a good team. You know, Brooklyn, again, kind of put the pieces together after the Kyrie trade, the Durant trade, so actually respectable. You know, Dinwiddie and Bridges are a nice combo they got going. You know, something to build off. I think they're definitely not in a bad shape after that trade, but Embiid and Harden are a tough combo.
Can we call it the Brooklyn Mavericks?
and the Suns, yeah.
And the Suns, there you go. So Nets at Sixers tomorrow. You got Sixers. Do you think Embiid will win the MVP?
If I had to pick my vote, I would go Embiid over Jokic. I think Embiid's body work is tremendous. You know, you can't go wrong with either player. Either player had a great regular season. I actually got to watch Embiid in person the other day in Milwaukee. Just very effortless the way he plays and physical specimen. So I like him.
Atlanta at the Celtics. Trae Young having a fantastic win against the Miami Heat. Celtics are number two this season. What's going to happen tomorrow at 3:30 on ESPN?
I think the Celtics really win this. It's not kind of cruising this series. I think the ability to just lock down defensively and getting, you know, Tatum and Brown and company and Horford, they're just too much for the Atlanta Hawks.
Now, what's the deal with the Atlanta Hawks? They lost their – I mean, they got rid of their coach this past season. Are they in a good state of condition, or this is the Hawks from a couple years ago where they cruised to the Eastern Conference?
They're just totally inconsistent. I mean, they're the most Jekyll and Hyde team there is, you know. They're literally, you know, they're 500. They've been within 500 all year, basically, for the last 2 months. They win a game, they lose a game. Win a game, they lose a game. I just think they're going to lose four straight to the Celtics at first.
Nate McMillan was that coach that they got rid of around the All-Star break. So we'll see what happens in that series. Should be a good one. Usually Trae Young likes to spook up a little bit
the games will be close.
Northeast in New York and Boston. So
yeah.
Two hot teams. Knicks at the Cavaliers. Knicks at a fifth seed. Tom Thibodeau is doing wonders up there. What's going to happen with this game one right here, and who's going to take the series?
This is, to me, this is the most entertaining series because you got two really evenly matched teams. The things that I think about in this series, though, is you've got to see the injury to, you know, Julius Randle. Is he going to be able to play? If he doesn't play, it's gonna be, I think the Knicks can still win. I think it's a lot more difficult. Lean on, you know, get those tough baskets and crucial moments of a game. But yeah, I'm gonna say the Knicks at least win game one. I'm not sure if they'll win the series. I'm gonna say that I'm gonna go with the Knicks to win tomorrow in Cleveland. Just they're back. I think the Knicks are back, Santiago.
This is the real deal, Knicks. This is like the 1990s Knicks.
Will be. Give them some time. Give them some time. They got the building pieces. They're there, Santiago. They're there.
RJ Barrett, Josh Hart, Trevor Keels.
Best traded. Best trade of the midseason, maybe other than Kevin Durant going to the Suns, was Josh Hart to the Knicks. He was an instant impact. You know, he gets on the team. They're, you know, an average team. He gets to the Knicks and they win six straight games. You know, huge impact right away. Kind of like we talk about, those blue guys are kind of you need on your team.
You do. And, of course, Julius Randle and, of course, and a big impact. So Knicks will take game one, as Ryan said in that series. We will also predict the series and game one. Who takes it doesn't mean if you win game one, you might win the series. Warriors at the Kings. I call it the Snake River Derby or the North California Derby. Warriors made it into that last playoff spot in that month of April and March. Your thoughts? The Kings are wild right now. They had a great, great deep run this season. Your thoughts over this matchup? Is this going to be a little bit tough for the Warriors than usual, right?
Yeah. The Warriors are obviously the big thing this year. The Warriors struggled on the road, you know, losing an amazing amount of road games. You know, it's just amazing they even got in the sixth position with their road record they had.
Anything's possible.
Close to home. This is the most expensive first-round game, I think, in NBA history. I think I read an article. There's a desire. I mean, the Kings haven't been in the playoffs in 17 years.
Akovich days.
Peja, Vlade Divac, Chris Webber. You know, we're talking old school here. With that being said,
Jason Williams.
I think the momentum. This is one of those games. I'm going to say the Warriors will probably win the series because I think they're just that good. They're getting Andrew Wiggins back. But tomorrow night is all about Sacktown. I think they just go crazy. I think they feed off that crowd. You know, and I just think there's nothing that the Warriors can do about it. You know, so I think the Kings win big, but at the same time, I really think the Warriors aren't going to bow out as defending champions in the first round.
Harrison Barnes is is one of the key players for the Kings, PJ Dozier. So we'll see how these Kings are going to do against his Warriors. Only bus ride array, only like 2 hours of a drive away. So it can't be that bad for travel for them for the Warriors.
So a team that the big thing with the Warriors, and this, like I said, I'm picking the Kings to win game one, but the fact that the Warriors got the rest this week and didn't have to play in the play-in is huge for an older team, a team that's played in a lot of basketball games, so that is big for them. I think the Kings, they're young. They're, you know, Mike Brown, best, you know, turnaround job in the NBA, should be the coach of the year, easy. A lot going forward for the Kings. You know, even if it doesn't work out in this series, the future looks bright. De'Aaron Fox is great. Sabonis is great. They just play well together. Kevin Huerter, a guy who played for the Hawks for a long time, kind of one of their linchpins, goes to Sacramento and continues, you know, his hot shooting over there. So, and like you said, Harrison Barnes is kind of the wily veteran who was on one of those earlier runs for the Warriors back in the day when they had Kevin.
Who played for the Mavericks too?
Yeah. He was traded from the Mavericks to Kings, which they had to clear out space years ago to get Chris off for Zynga. So there you go. There's some knowledge for everybody out there today.
Another Mavericks reference. Let's go on Sunday, the Lake Show at the Grizzlies, John Morant versus LeBron James, a Lakers team that looks pretty healthy, looks pretty good at this time of year. Your thoughts over this series and who takes game one?
Grizzlies win game one, win the series in seven. Great basketball series. Great. Two evenly matched teams. I know it's two versus seven, but the way the Lakers are finally healthy, they're not your average seven seed. At the same time, you know, Grizzlies had a lot of off-the-court issues this year. They probably should be the number one seed. I think they're that good. So I think you got the best opening round series in the Western Conference coming up, you know. In
this the most series. Expensive after the Knicks and Cavaliers game.
Yeah, I think it's a really good basketball. John Morant seems to be back in a good state of mind. So we'll see what happens. I think it's just going to be fun basketball.
Peaking at the right time for both these clubs. Okay, the other game, the other two games, we don't know because we'll find out tonight. But the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard at the Suns, Kevin Durant, or is it a sub Kevin Durant? Who is this team? What's going to happen in this series? This is the first real test for Phoenix, and Clippers are looking good. A quiet sniper, I think they call it, to Kawhi Leonard or whatever they call it. What do you think about this series? This series looks pretty close from paper.
Yeah, it's just one of those games. I think the Suns got too much going for them. Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, whatever happened to them last year against the Mavericks. They're trying to get to this playoff. They got a desire, you know, Devin Booker. This is too much. I think there's nothing wrong with the Clippers. The Clippers are fine. Paul George is still not 100% if he even plays. I just think there's just too much in Phoenix going on. I think this is one of those things you're going to have a lot of competitive games. I just like Suns in clutch moments.
You don't like Phoenix because they're kind of like the Mavericks rivalry in like the
they
Southwest
kind of,
or something.
We're going in two opposite directions right now, Santiago. They made a trade that worked. We made a trade that worked.
So
it's a
go.
Mark Cuban decision. Ryan, you still there?
I'm here. Yep. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, it was a Mark Cuban decision. He could be the Dan Snyder of the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not as toxic personality as Dan Snyder, but yeah. He's...
Well, there you have it. The playoffs, the play-ins tonight. The playoffs is this weekend. A lot going on. Two pivotal games tonight and then more pivotal games this weekend. This is where the NBA gets heated and things like that. Ryan, before we go, your thoughts. Washington Commanders is probably going to be sold to the Josh Harris group, which includes Magic Johnson, NBA reference. Your thoughts over this acquisition?
Yeah, Magic Johnson likes his hands a lot. I think obviously one of the premier owners of the Dodgers. What they did, that group does with the Dodgers is great. They're willing, you know, and the Sixers and Josh Harris, they're willing to spend money. They're kind of hands off in the sense of, you know, they're not going to get involved in daily management. But what they are going to do is give your team resources that needs to be successful. So for the Commanders, I hope the best of you because it's been a long time. You guys deserve it. That franchise used to be a beacon to the NFL and now kind of a disgraceful franchise. Hopefully they're able to turn the corner, fill out FedEx Field, get a new stadium. So turn that franchise around.
Ryan, that's too much to ask for.
This ownership group, and I think this is wild. As bad as valued as I think the Commanders are, they got $6 billion for it. That's more than what the, you know, Walmart group paid for the Broncos, which is another, I think, wasn't a much better state.
Yeah,
and,
but
you know,
Ryan, the real estate in Washington, D.C. is much more higher than Denver.
Yeah, but I mean, they paid $6 billion for that franchise. And now they have to go out and probably pay $1 billion plus buy land and build a stadium on. So they got deep pockets. They'll make it happen. You know, the owners, other owners are excited to kind of see Dan Snyder to the door. You know, like I said earlier, the quicker Dan Snyder gets out, the less that you have to hear about, you know, kind of the, you know, shortcomings of the other NFL owners that could come out if there had more hearings on with Dan Snyder.
Which the court cases will continue even after this acquisition is finalized. Ryan, anything else before we head into the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, we talked about the Sacramento Kings breaking their losing, you know,
the playoff streak. You know, my Pittsburgh Penguins go the opposite direction. They lose their playoff streak, you know, after 17 straight years. So sad to not have the Mavericks or Penguins in the playoffs, you know, this, you know, what I'm usually used to doing in the springtime, but, you know, this means more. It won't stop me from watching the NBA or NHL playoffs going on. Really enjoyed my Midwest tour of MLB stands. If anybody gets a chance to go to Wrigley Field, definitely worth the trip.
Worth the trip. One of the oldest stadiums in baseball. My Florida Panthers went to a game last night. They lost against the Carolina Canes.
That's a costly loss. So now they have to go face the vaunted Boston Bruins because of that loss.
That's not a good – yeah, Boston Bruins is the top dog in hockey, aren't they?
Yeah, everything in Boston is top dog except for the Red Sox. So,
and maybe the Patriots, which is debatable.
Yeah, well, the Patriots, yeah. Yeah, that's another story, but yeah.
Ryan, random question of the day. What goes best with pecan? Options are pecan pie, pecan brownies, vegetables, or ice cream?
Ice cream. I would say pancakes if that was an option, but.
That's not a bad option. Pecan pie is winning as always at 50%. Ice cream 33%. Pecan brownies 17%. Ryan Christo, what is the best way to reach you online if you support the Salt Lake City to have a Major League Baseball team?
No, it should be Las Vegas, but Ryan Chris or Mad Dog Report on Twitter.
That was pretty firm. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or the Sportscast One on Instagram, Twitter. We'll be live tweeting this weekend on the NBA. A lot of good teams, a lot of good games. Cavs and Knicks and Lakers and Grizzlies are probably the top two games after tonight for this weekend. I think Ryan will probably agree. Those are the two games. Well, then the Warriors in Sacramento. So there's three good series to watch this first round.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only thing that can stop me from watching NBA playoffs is finally 80-degree weather in Western New York. So I don't know how much live watching I'll be watching, but I will definitely have my eye on the NBA playoffs this weekend.
There you have it. Well, Ryan, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast. Go Heat.
Good luck. Bye-bye.